it's Christ and his end that he has graced us.
Amen.
To be in the number one more time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I solicit your prayers. I left my family home. They're sick. My prayer is that I can be here and do what I must need to do. Amen. You know, God said it's all or nothing at all.
Amen.
I can't preach thinking about home. So I solicit your prayers.
Amen.
I will begin perhaps a short series of somebody messages concerning this somewhat wayward generation in which we live. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to turn with me to the book of Joshua. To the book of Joshua. And we are going to read the verse of focus as a family. And the verse of focus is going to be found in the very next book called Judges. So if you would, every Sunday y'all act like this is a mystery. Amen. While we read the scripture. And it's just one of the things we do, whether we're seated or whether we're standing. Pretty irrelevant, but we just want to get on one accord. Amen?
Amen.
So we stand in reverence to the Almighty God while his message is being read for your hearing. The book of Joshua, chapter 24. We'll be reading just two verses. And from the book of Judges, the second chapter, we'll be reading as our place of focus. The book of Joshua. While you're turning in this particular pericope of scripture, Joshua now is come to the end of his life. Moses is dead. But Moses trained Joshua. You know how we here at Faith, we admonish you, before you let one office go, train somebody to take your place. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know how long I'll be here, Dick, but it would be nice before I left if y'all already had a pastor. Joshua is at the end of his life. He's 110 years old. The people now have long since crossed the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army drowned it. Well, they have crossed the Jordan through the leadership of Joshua, and they have conquered the people of the land. The land has even been distributed, and they have received their inheritance. Well, and Joshua now brings them to what I have turned this scripture to be called the invitation. Come on, somebody. You know how at the end of a sermon, the invitation is extended. So Joshua now is giving his farewell message in the valley of Shechem to his people. We're going to read together in Genesis, but I want you to just listen to me. He says, "Now, therefore," and I told you every time you see the word therefore, you can see why it's therefore. We're going to talk about that later. "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom he will serve." Help me, somebody. "Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." This is where I've been trying to get you. "But as for me Israelites. He said, I'm speaking on behalf of my entire house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, if you would turn to Genesis chapter 2, let's look at our first focus, which is verse number 10. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
If you have the King James rendering, Judges 2:10, read, and also all of that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Now, I just want you to pray with me on a simple topic. Generation ill. Say with me, generation ill.
Generation ill.
It don't make sense now, but it will. Subtopic is the invitation. Eternal God, our Father, we ask now that you give preaching. Scripture has been read. Nothing occurs unless you speak. Now speak through this, your preacher. Again, God, I present my body a living sacrifice. Make me, Father, what I'm trying to be. And that's an effectual orator. Use me as an instrument of your own purpose, Father, that your word go forth and be received. You know, God, if your word goes forth, it cannot come back to you void. Bless now your people. We sense your presence. Let us leave a different way than when we came. What happens to you today, Father, we pray, would last longer than what happens to you today. For in the name of Jesus, we all pray. Say with me, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may take your seats. Generation ill. So we can be on the same page. When I say generation, what I'm referring to is, it is a group of individuals, a group of people who are band together, or they are born around the same time. And they live in very similar circumstances, making them have not only similar characteristics, but almost identical characteristics. Are y'all with me? Somebody say a generation.
Generation.
A generation is normally separated by only 20 or 25 years. Now, what you need to know is that the Center for Generational Kinetics, this is an institution that was just established to study the different generations. They went so far not only to study them, but to give them names. Some of these names you have heard, maybe others you have not, but from everybody, according to them, will fall into one of these categories. Can I talk about it for a minute? Gen Z, or Z, I'm sorry, Gen Z, or Generation Z, are the people who were born in 1996 unto now. Then you have the millennials. The millennials were born around 1977 through 1995. Somebody say with the millennials. And then you have Gen X. Gen X was born between the years of 1965 and 1976. Have I hit your category yet? And then we have the baby boomers. That's where I fall. The baby boomers were born between the years of 1946 and 1960. Just me.
Amen.
And then the silent generation. Those are the ones who were born before 1945 and beyond. The Center for Generational Kinetics study these three main things. They study these so-called categorized people by this name, by these names, to find out exactly what shapes that generation. They study them to
so that they might know what to expect from them and where they're headed. Have I got a church statement?
Amen.
So you're not going to find a category named as such as this sermon by this group of people because me and the Lord named it. Somebody say Generation A.
Generation A.
We call them Generation A because Generation A has formable and similar characteristics.
Help the Holy Ghost.
Generation L is so called because whether we want to realize it or not, this current generation is lost.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. You got to understand, in the book of Judges, the Bible is really saying that all of those who knew the Lord had now gone on and died, and they were with their fathers. But the Bible said there arose another generation. That's what we call a Generation A. Generation A didn't know the Lord. Generation A didn't know what the Lord had done for them. So Generation A was sitting there just like some of y'all was sitting there and kind of crazy over there. But I want to preach to just a few folks who know they didn't get here by themselves. I just want to preach to a few folks who know that they didn't get here by their own volition, but it was grace. Somebody say, grace from.
Grace from.
Mercy to talk.
Mercy to talk.
Love that person. Moses, again, is dead, and Joshua, his successor, conquered Jericho. Fought the battle of Ai and was defeated, but now he's old and stricken in years. This is his last message to this wayward people. You must recognize that after the end of his talking, he brings them to the point of decision. Somebody say the invitation. Whether you know it or not, that's at the end of every sermonic message, for it should be. It should be an invitation extended. Some people say you open it to the doors of the church. We got away from saying that because the doors of the church are always open.
Amen.
So we said that's where the Christian invitation is extended to people. And that's where the point of decision must be made. Whether you know it or not, the invitation that I stand to you every Sunday when I preach is just like Joshua's. You may not realize it, but you got a choice. You might not realize it, but every Sunday when I extend an invitation, you make a decision. Because if you don't come, you're saying, I'm all right the way I am. When I extend the invitation, I'm saying to you, well, if you can continue to serve the gods of yesterday, where your father served, you can serve the gods in which the Lord delivered you from. Or you can, Lord have mercy. You can serve the God that I'm talking about. Somebody said invitation. What you must need to know about the invitation is that God nor I can make you do anything.
That's right.
That's why it's called an invitation. Joshua said, you've got a choice to make. Lord have mercy. He said, you can serve. I want to read it the way it says in the book. He says, everything's equal to to serve the Lord. He said, all I want you to do is choose this day. Look at somebody say, make a choice.
Make a choice.
Choose this day whom ye will serve.
Yes.
He gives them multiplication or multiple actions.
Yes.
He says, you can choose
faith is yours.
Joshua said, though, but before you make your choice, can I just point out to you some things that God did for you?
Yeah.
He said, before you come to a point of decision, I just want to remind you of a few things. Can I talk about it for a minute?
Yeah.
He said, I want to remind you, man, of the God that I'm offering you today that brought you out of Egypt.
Yeah.
Y'all don't remember Egypt. Everybody got an Egypt. When you were enslaved and bound by the taskmaster.
Yeah.
Ah, y'all ain't gonna say it. For some of y'all were drinkers and heavy drinkers. For some of y'all were partiers and heavy partiers. But y'all ain't gonna say it. For some of y'all were smoking the devil. Maybe you ain't saying amen because you still smoke.
Yeah.
really want to get to, the crux of this message is this. Moses trained Joshua. But Joshua didn't train nobody. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to say it again. Moses trained Joshua to take his place on his own. But Joshua was so busy fighting. Joshua was so busy trying to get the walls of Jericho to fall down that he didn't train nobody. This is Black History Month. The reason that we are telling our youth about MLK is because you need to remember that you can always drink from a water fountain.
That's right.
Why do we need to tell our children about Martin Luther King Jr.? Because you couldn't always go to the front of the bus.
That's right.
Generation L, think you got it like that. No, you ain't got it like that. Fool died.
That's right. That's right.
Train up the child and telling them where they came from. The reason Generation L is entitled is because they always had it like that. Somebody was born back in 1960.
All right, Pat.
Somebody was a baby boomer and know that there was a time when we went to the doctor's office. And they had a color section.
Oh. pastor. That's right.
Train that child.
Yeah.
The way they should go about this, when you know they won't depart from it. We are not training our children in the way that we ought to train our children. We don't let them tell us what to do.
Yeah.
If the clothes ain't right, it ain't their fault, it's the parents' fault.
That's right.
If the pants are too low, the parent ought to be the one to buy them, they'll pull it up. Because you think you're trying to let them express themselves. Little trying to raise his own self. You let him send it to the video game, as long as he out of my head. You have him, but you ought to raise him also.
Amen.
Everybody who has done a heinous crime and they're in prison, they had one time with a child. They didn't grow up that way.
That's right.
They were born a murderer.
That's right. That's right.
They were not born a thief. They learned that behavior. Okay, I'll say this right here. I'm going to teach you about this next week. There's a law. I ain't going to give you the name of it, but I'm going to give you, I'm going to let you know what the law means. The law means that your children will be like what they are around.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
If your children are in church, when they get to be an adult, they don't love church.
Amen.
I'm even going to get quiet right here. You don't have to take my word for it. Those of you who like sports are women. I'm not singing out to women, but it's a little unusual for a woman to love sports. The reason you love sports is because you can crawl up around it. Your children are going to gravitate and like what you like. If your household is fussing and fighting and loud and arguing all the time, they will be gravitating toward somebody who's loud, argumentative, and fighting all the time. Why? Yeah, because that makes them feel like they're
home.
If you are raised in dysfunction, you're going to gravitate toward dysfunction. If you like and love the church, your children are going to like and love the church. I got to go somewhere with this. I was going to say it, but I can't say it, but I'm not going to say it. If you like and love the pastor, your children are going to like and love the pastor. Go back. If you can't stand the pastor, your children ain't going to like the pastor. They are lost and ignorant. They don't know what the Lord does. for because nobody's for it. They always understood having food on the table. They always understood having clothes on the back. Somebody told them that they don't even know what to wear. They have always understood a life of entitlement because they don't know how to get it. Generation L comes to church. You can tell Generation L because they've never praised God.
All right.
They sit there as if the church and God owes them something. They sit there with that funny look on their face like they don't take all of that.
All right.
I think about it, I wish he would sit there.
Yeah.
He said that I am the way,
yeah.
The truth. late, but it's too late. Don't let it be too late. While the blood is still running warm in your veins, but has that been part of this invitation?